Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Game on Oz Weekly Show. I am Straightjacker Jim, and we've got Stormy and a special guest, Pav, Pavloverface. How are you doing, my friend? You're very, very special, mate.
Yeah, special guest. Yeah.
I feel special. Thanks for having me. I'm doing wonderful. It's an absolute pleasure to be on. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
I'm so very glad you could make it. Because like, we love talking to you, and especially the stuff you're doing with OGR now. Organic. No, it's not organic. Well, I guess an orc.
We're trying to get that organic growth.
Yeah,
buddy.
That's it. Oceanic. That's what it's all about. Yeah, Oceanic Gaming Radio.
That's us.
Yeah, if you want, give them a follow. They're a wonderful gaming podcast. So yeah, give them a bit of a yell, a bit of a plug, because we love our friends in other podcasts as well.
Cheers, man. I appreciate it. It's great to mingle a little bit. Looking forward to what else we have in the future. Who knows?
That's it. Well, surely we can come up with something, especially when we're actually in the studio, because unfortunately we had a bit of a hiccup today. So you'll notice that if you're watching live at twitch.tv/gameonoz, you'll see that we're not in the studio today, but we're still here. We're still going to provide you your entertainment. So let's just get into it, eh? Let's talk about our bloody good games of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband. So let's have a look. And I think being the guest, let's start with Pav. So what's your bloody good game of the week, Pav?
All right, well, completely admittedly, haven't really had too much time to play some games in a little while. Been quite busy with the OGR and a few other kind of life stuff happening. I was very tempted to bring Hollow Knight up to topic, but I feel like every time I'm in chat, I almost force you all to talk about it.
It's like looking into the mirror and saying Hollow Knight three times, and then Pav appears just out of nowhere in the chat. Honestly, before you even joined this chat, before we set up the stream, we're talking about Hollow Knight, and that is when you joined. So it's tried and tested. It's a true theory.
Yep, without fail. But I thought we'd give that one a break for now, because you all know how much I love it and you know my thoughts on it. The last game, like start to finish, I've played recently. I know you guys talked a little bit about it in the past, but It Takes Two. What a delightful game. Like, it's hard to like grasp like my feelings on it, because it's like it was just a purely delightful game. a pure delight.
I do have to know, who did you play it with?
I played it with just an IRL friend that doesn't really stream too much at the moment. It was just a great chance just to catch up with like an old friend, kind of thing, which was really sweet.
And whose idea was it to start playing then, Pav? Or was it a mutual thing? Like, you were like, oh, yeah, we'll just give this a go? Or had you seen this before you started playing?
It was mine. I try to stay, clueless off the game. So, like, I knew it was fantastic. I've heard nothing but great things about it. And I was like, I need to find someone who can commit to playing this on a weekly basis. And then when we were talking initially, I suggested it, and we loved it from the get-go, and we were religiously playing it every week until we finished it, and it was, fantastic. So good. What I found incredible is how it, like, encompasses, like, so many different genres so smoothly. Like, you just couldn't expect what comes next. It was like, I remember there being, like, a fighting game on the top of an aeroplane. Where did that come from? I wasn't expecting that. That was crazy.
This game I have started with two different people. I still haven't finished yet, but it's only because it was just finding the time to play it together was the hardest. And I've seen stuff here that I didn't get to. I think the last thing I got to was it was something to do with like this, was it squirrels or something, like underground
squirrels? Yes.
I don't even think I'm actually that very far into it, because I'm seeing so much stuff here, like the racing on the ice, or even like there was something that looked really like futuristic and stuff. I think something about It Takes Two, and you can agree or disagree with me, because this obviously won Game of the Year last year, and I'm so, it makes me really happy, because as a solely like you can only play this co-op, like you can't play the single player for a game that has such a co-op focused, you know, offline, or I mean, you know what I mean, like it's not like a online multiplayer free to play battle royale, you know, it's just a cool like story with two people to
classic
win game of the year.
Co-op.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like
brings me back. It was almost nostalgic in a way that I can't explain.
Yeah, like Jim, you were talking about Shredder's Revenge, and you were talking about just how joyous it was to have a, you know, a co-op game that you've loved, like, yeah, you know, and bring people together.
And how it was so similar to older games as well, like. It's not my game of the week, but I just loved that it was basically Turtles in Time, which I played to death and absolutely loved, with so much more little bits and pieces, and it all added to the game to make it so much better than the sum of its parts. But
yeah, I agree.
I must admit, I like It Takes Two is one that I have been wanting to play, but like you guys have said, getting the people together to play it consistently is a little tricky. Adulting is hard.
Yeah. Yep. I think Pav, you can expand on this if you want to, but I think already from what I've played of the game, it just has so much heart to it, and the characters, you can't help but love them. Like they're both flawed in their own ways, but I don't know. I see a lot of little arguments and stuff that I can see myself, my partner having, or even just things on like the same kind of level. Is that, like, what did you think of the storytelling in this game? Did it really, like, get you in the heartstrings?
Yeah, like, it started off, like, very cliche and, like, it was like, come on. But, like, by the middle, like, closer to the end, we're like, man, can't do this to me. You mentioned you haven't gotten too far into it, but for anyone in chat who has, all I can say is a part with the elephant.
Everyone talks about that. Oh, I have no idea what...
Is all I will say, the part with the elephant, like, I was questioning my humanity.
Oh, literally, no!
Like that's all I'll say. Like, man.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've
storytelling?
Seen people playing it. Yeah, that poor... Oh, that no. Elephant. That elephant, man.
Storytelling Wait. And the music design meshed perfectly. That point is yeah, I've never felt so immersed in the worst way possible.
I don't know anything, so like no spoilers, but like everything I have heard people go on about is about this elephant, and I don't know why. And that it's like that in itself, yeah, I know, I'm so scared because I get so emotionally attached to any character in any game, but yeah, I'm quite looking forward to hopefully finishing it soon.
Cool. Well, right. Just before we move on to the next bloody good game of the week, thank you to SimiCat, Ariond, and Gamma for our subs in chat. So awesome. Ooh. SimiCat with the 50 months.
The big 5-0.
I know. Actually, you know what I realized today, and we didn't say it in the chat, because like Wednesday mornings, myself and Natty pre-record Nuts and Bolts, which is our esports show that airs on Thursday. And it's episode 50 for that tomorrow as well.
Wow.
So although the 50 months just reminded me. That, but yeah, but thank
that's
you
incredible.
To those. I know, I can't believe we've been doing that for over a year. That's crazy.
Wow. Well, I was going to say as well, because we were saying what everyone's been playing this week. Gamma says, I've been smashing out The Quarry. And yes, The Quarry recently got an update for online multiplayer, which is exciting because we're talking about multiplayer games. I think that is it. I was just catching up to see what everyone else is playing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So Stormy, what have you been playing? I mean, I know what you've been playing because you told me earlier, but you know,
I'll let
you tell everybody.
Apart from the usual League of Legends, which has been my big guilty pleasure. I play religiously every night. I can't help myself. I've decided to go back to an old favorite of mine, and this was also inspired because I needed a little bit of help this week. I haven't been playing many games. So I hung out with my beautiful sister today and I said, look, I need your help. I need a bloody good game of the week. What do you suggest? And she's on school holidays. She's playing a lot of Game Pass at the moment. But she always goes back to Overwatch. And I had recently gone back to Overwatch as well. And especially with Overwatch 2 coming out. I going back to it after not playing for so long just gave me such good memories because this was the first game that I really sunk a lot of ungodly hours into. So, like, for those who don't know, like, I, in my opinion, started gaming quite late. Like, I probably only started gaming about, like, 5 or 6 years ago. Like, when I say properly gaming, I mean, like, playing games, like, every single day. So I remember when Overwatch came out, this was the first team first-person shooter that I had gotten into. And I feel like everyone generally knows what Overwatch is now because it has been that popular and, you know, and all sorts of other bits and pieces. But, yeah, I think just the things I love about this game, and I think what still stands out to me today, is just the characters themselves. You have such a incredible cast of different characters, and I think what I loved about it that appealed to me like really early on was just, they're all from different countries, they're all like, you know, some of them are like part cybernetic, like they're all like so different, some of them are completely robotic, like it's just, I don't know, I just, and the voice actors, like the lore, the cinematics, like I think it was really the cinematics that first sold it to me. Like, if anyone remembers the very first cinematic trailer that Blizzard brought out for Overwatch when that game was announced, it just, it had this big like Pixar like tug on your heartstrings feel about these kids looking up to these like heroes, and it sucked me in really good.
It was so cinematic as well, wasn't it? Because I think I've played Overwatch like once, like wasn't a big Overwatch person, but even I remember the trailers and the stories that they put out for the characters, building their backstory and stuff like that. And it was just, for a game that is basically just shooty McShooter, it had some incredible depth in its story.
Yeah, the lore and the cinematics itself are just so incredible to watch unfold. And I think later on I started having a bit of a love-hate relationship with it because there were some events that I loved, like the Halloween events and stuff, where the events themselves were very same, but like I guess the reason sometimes I was coming back was the skins, but obviously got to the point where I couldn't. But now with the new Overwatch 2 and stuff coming out, and I unfortunately haven't had a chance to jump onto that beta, but I'm really interested to see what they will do with it, and especially because it's going to free to play as well, how much it's going to pull those old players back. I think that's what fascinates me the most. I love this world that they've built for all these characters in the game, and I'm just more invested into them than I think beyond anything else. And I love that it's crossplay now, so I get to play it with my partner, my sister, like, you know, she could be on the Xbox, I could play on the computer, like, I, you know, those very small little, you know, changes and updates they made, I don't know, kind of pulled me back again. So yeah, Overwatch is my bloody good game of the week this week.
Nice. It's one of those things when you come back into a game after not having played it for a while.
Yeah.
And they've made some changes and tweaks that if you were playing it constantly, you probably wouldn't notice as much, but coming back to it, you go, that's really cool. I appreciate all these changes at once.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's really interesting because we're going to see some bigger changes. Like, I guess the biggest one that comes to mind is the team composition moving from 6 to 5. And I think they're losing one tank role, and obviously all the characters are going to have to be changed and worked around that and things like that too. So it's really fascinating as someone who's been playing the game like since launch, and then taking a break and coming back. Yeah, I'm very, very intrigued to see what they're going to do with the new one. But in the meantime, I think I'm playing this old one just for a little bit of nostalgia, I guess. I don't know if the game's old enough for me to say that, but in my mind it is, and I don't know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Only time will tell, and see what they do with the new one.
Nice. Cannot wait to see. And look, my bloody good game of the week, and until yesterday it was going to be League of Legends, because I've before the weekend I'd only played it in like one sort of sitting, and I was learning it, and then I got back into it over the weekend and was having fun. I'm a one champion pony, but you know, I'm enjoying that. Like, I hold my own in my lane phase and then get obliterated late game, but that's another story. But last night I started up Fall Guys again, and like, it's, It's so interesting because I played this hard when it first came out. And coming back to it now, it's like what you sort of found with Overwatch. Because it's had a year, 18 months to sort of mature and get more things into it, it there's a lot more variety in the games because it's had time to develop those mini games and whatnot. And it was so funny for me because the very first game I played, I went out in the first round. But yeah, I was going, yeah, this is kind of like how I remember it. And then the second game I played, I won the crown. And it was just like, cool. Thank you, Trash Lobbies. Thank you, all the free-to-play players that have come in.
You went
and,
from the biggest low to the absolute high.
That's it, yeah. And even the third game I played, like I came second or third or something. So yeah, I was doing well. And it's just a fun, stupid game. Like the physics of it haven't changed. It's still, you know, like rubber band physics sort of stuff. But it scratches that itch. And like all the different costumes that you can get. I've got an Ezio costume, so I'm just a assassin there. But people were running around with Master Chief, and like there was a little grunt costume, and I thought, that is perfect for Fall Guys. And I want it. And I can't find it at the moment, but I want it.
I was
just looking at the screenshot there, and I've just noticed the Chinese dragon up the top. Right, it's in like all three parts.
Look at that dragon. That looks so cool.
Well, I didn't realize until someone mentioned the Among Us one. If you only have the bottom half, the top part is just like, it's like when you get killed off in the game,
really?
And you're just a bone. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. But I was going to say, don't lose my train of thought now. This is another really interesting example of the game's relationship with having a license to use those costumes. Like, we talked about this, I think it was on like the first podcast I did with you guys about Fortnite, and now we're having like tennis champions and like all the Marvel and DC people started trickling in, and they're doing the same. But I think what's really cool is that because Fall Guys have their own distinct style, it really works, and you can't help but love it because you're like, oh, that's cute.
It's like the chibi version of the costumes, really, isn't it? It's like these cute little, like when I always remember, and I'm kicking myself that I missed out on it, but when Untitled Goose Game got released, they had a goose costume. And I just go, oh, I wish I'd gotten it, but I just went, oh, but yeah, nah. And just those sort of little little crossovers. And yeah, like you say, it works. Like you say, because I think they're billed as costumes rather than a skin. Yeah, but it's just fun. And especially now because they've introduced custom lobbies as well. So you need a minimum of 10 people, but you can do a round.
Surely we have a game on lobby.
Well, I reckon we could. I mean, it's free to play now as well, so you know, just get it.
It like, is free to play now.
Yeah,
this might be my game of the week next week.
have you played it before, Pat?
I played it almost religiously when it first came out, like almost every day, and I adored it. But I slowly fell off because I had lots of stuff happening.
Yeah.
But I had like. It was so much fun. That may be what I play next week.
It's just fun. And like the variety of the games, the squad modes that they got now as well. So before, like you could play in a squad, but if you didn't qualify, you would just sit there and watch the other person. But now, like it's a squad score type thing, so your whole squad stays in as long as your score is high enough, sort of thing. And it's quite cool, all this new stuff that they've introduced. And look, I'll be honest, like I haven't really played this since like I played it 2 or 3 months after launch, and like these poor guys got hammered hard. Like I bought it at launch, and I remember the server troubles they had because they just didn't think it was going to be this big. And yeah, to see where it is now, it's I'm so happy to see an indie dev, like, well, it's owned by Epic now, but it's an indie dev that made this game and it just blew up. It's so good. I love it. And that is my bloody good game of the week.
Thanks, Aussie Broadband.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, yeah, it's got to say, it's for me, it's been a little bit of a slow news week. Like, no really big things have come up, but that's good because it means we can talk about lots of little different things. And one, I'm always really interested in this, and because I'm a stats person by nature. I love the numbers and seeing numbers and everything. But so this particular bit of information caught my eye, and it's that the Xbox Series X and Series S have surpassed 250,000 units sold in Japan. So this is just Japan we're talking about, not worldwide. Which you sit there thinking, oh, 250,000 doesn't sound like a huge amount. But keep in mind, this is, what, a year and a half into the console's life. And by comparison, the Xbox One sold 114,000 units in Japan in its lifetime.
Wow.
Mm. So, and I always get back to, like, the shortage of the consoles, and you sit there and thinking, oh, I don't remember it being this bad before. And then you have a look at how much it sold and compared to other consoles, and you go, well, crap, no wonder they've had a hard time keeping up.
I wonder why. Well, I mean, I'm saying this kind of like to open up to you guys, like, compared to the Xbox One, I mean, obviously every new console generation comes out more powerful than the last, with better or more features than the last as well. But the fact that already the Series X and the S have sold that much more than Xbox One did the entire lifetime. Like, why do we think this generation in particular has people scrambling for it? Or do we think it's one of those things where it's just like, because everyone wants it, do we think everyone's all like, that's incentivizing people to go out and get it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one myself. Like, I'm wondering if it's like a combination of where we were in the world at that time, because you know, this was November 2020 that it came out, and so we're talking peak COVID then. So people couldn't really travel, people were staying at home, so maybe they were looking at other things to spend their money on, and like the Series X is a pretty powerful piece of equipment there. And I've said it a lot of times, but Game Pass, because it's not Games Pass, as I've been corrected on before, Game Pass, is such an incredibly powerful bit of equipment that goes with it. So I think it's a combination of those things that have made it such a popular bit of machinery.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think Game Pass has a lot to do with it. Especially in recent years, it's so accessible for so many titles. And also important to remember, gaming in general is becoming more and more popular. I think there was a survey done like recently for like school age children, like compared to like 10 years ago when we were in school. Before it was like
10 years. Thanks for being generous, Pav.
Well, 10 years for me at least. And we won't talk about that. I remember seeing a study, and it was like 25 to 50% of high school age students would say they were avid gamers. Now it's 75%, and that's like of like all demographics. And it's like that is a considerable amount of new consumers into the market as well. And these generations that are coming out around the same time, there's just more demand, I imagine.
Yeah, I agree as well. Like, I think it's one of those things as well where, like, I know Natty's mentioned, like, people who have owned the original 360 or even consoles before that. Like, those people are having their own kids now. And they're obviously more than likely going to be exposed to gaming too. So I think being passed through the generations, it's not just the younger crowd or like that are going to want these consoles. It's also like those of us who did own those original consoles who want the newest one, because the love for the gaming, I would imagine, is obviously still there as well. So I think it's a really fascinating thing to see, especially with those stats you've brought up as well, of just how many young people are like gaming in the whole scheme of things. So yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Like when like the numbers already over 250,000 sold since launch.
Yeah, and just in Japan, It's crazy.
In Japan, compared to 114,000 for the entirety of the Xbox One. Like, it's incredible.
That's it. And the Xbox One was still, like, it had a really terrible launch, but Microsoft did, it's full credit to Phil Spencer's work that they managed to bring that around and made it such a good product at the end of its life. Actually, I'm curious to see, like, PlayStation sales figures, because I wonder if that's a sort of a similar trend. I wonder if the PS4 had similar sort of tracking, because the PS4, I think, sold more than Xbox One in all its various forms. But I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe I'll have to go away and look that up for next week, I think, and have a chat about some PlayStation sales, because I always see this stuff, but I must admit, because I don't have PlayStation stuff, I don't follow a lot of PlayStation stuff on my Twitter, so that doesn't pop up as much. Like, Twitter serves me lots of, oh, you might like this stuff about Xbox, because that's what I look at.
That's really what you see.
Yeah.
I like Slytos's comment in chat. The stats is that they sold them all.
That's right.
PlayStation just sold them all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Xbox sold quite a few more than PlayStation this generation.
I think it's interesting as well, just in a general kind of perspective on the selling of these consoles. Like, I genuinely think when you know that something is hard to get, the incentive and drive to get it is even higher, because everyone's like, oh, this console is just so hard to get. I haven't been able to get one for so long. And it just makes the need and the want to have it that much more gigantic, for lack of a better word. So I don't know. I think it's because I don't know about you. Like, yeah, there have been some really big launches, like for the Xbox, for example. I mean, I guess, like, if we're talking about first party stuff, I mean, there's Halo, but I mean, was Halo really like are we gonna say the launch or the aftermath of Halo Infinite coming out is going to be responsible for the consoles? I'm gonna argue and say no. It's gonna probably be more so Game Pass, like what you said. I think this is really interesting. I just want to see the PlayStation stats and kind of like jazz them up and just kind of see, well, not jazz them up, but like compare them and just be
all right, you know what, Margaret, let's Google this now. PlayStation 5 sales figures.
See, that's the only reason I use my Xbox more, is because of Game Pass. I only pick up my PlayStation, honestly, if I've got someone who's playing a multiplayer game on there that doesn't have cross-play or is an exclusive, like Horizon.
So, when was this? Oh, I hate when stories don't... Oh, here we go, the date. So this was the 3rd of June 2022. PlayStation 5 had sold 20 million units worldwide. Let's see if I can find Xbox Series X sales figures, just so if we can get maybe a
global comparison.
That's right. So this,
you know what? I felt like such a goose when Jim, you mentioned, like, obviously the announcement and a release of the consoles all happened around COVID. I went, oh, of course, everyone's at home. I was like, of course. I was like, how did I forget? Oh, man.
No, that story's not telling me. Here we go. VG charts. Come on, don't let me down. When it loads.
All right, Stormy, how many do you think Xbox is going to be, given PlayStation was 20 million units? What do you think?
Say more. I'm going to say like 25, 30. Like, I don't think it's going to be by March. Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's around the 25 mark as well. Maybe closer, I think it's sitting around there. All right, give it to us, Jim.
So I found this story on vgcharts.com, a sales comparison between the PS5 and Xbox Series X/S So sales to March 2022, and PlayStation had actually sold more. At the end of March, PlayStation 5 had sold what looks like maybe 18, 19 million units, and the Xbox Series S/X, and I wish they would make that easier to say, is about 13, 14 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's okay.
Like, yeah. Not overly surprised that they're under, but by seven.
That's a fair amount. Yeah, looking, because they've also got let's do this thing. So everybody can see. These were the charts that I was looking at. So this is the one where I was quoting the numbers off, and the blue is PlayStation, green's Xbox. But this chart that we've got up the top here is about the lead between the PlayStation 5 versus the Xbox. So you can see it actually started off at a bit, but I think from memory, PlayStation launched a week or two before the Xbox did.
Yes, I think you're correct there. It wasn't too far away from each other, but it was within a week or two.
Yeah. So, PlayStation started off with the lead, but then you can see around a year in, it peaked. And so that was at must be like a 5.3 million unit lead over the Xboxes. But then Xbox has been pegging it back. So the lead is under 5 million now. But still, that's a lot of units. Yeah.
I'm having a look here as well, just to kind of see what, like, in case any games may have influenced that decision as well. I'm looking at games that released November last year because my memory's shocking. It was Call of Duty Vanguard, which is on both consoles. There was Forza Horizon 5. Shin Megami Tensei, Battlefield 2042. I'm just gonna scroll.
Yeah, let's just gloss over that one. Yeah.
apart from that, I mean, I guess those were the biggest ones. Was Horizon and Vanguard.
And didn't Halo come out around that time as
well? Halo was December, okay. I think. I think it was a little bit later, off memory, from what I can see here. This website's not saying that Halo came out then. But yeah, I just think that's really interesting, just to see if there was anything influenced. I know Call of Duty's a big game, but there wasn't like a big PS5 exclusive there that I could be like, oh yeah, that really would have wanted people to, you know, jump onto a year after it launched. But now that we're getting God of War, November, this will be on like the second anniversary of the PS5 launching. I'm sure more people want it now.
That's right.
Like, there's not enough people who are trying to get their hands on the console already, but I think God of War is going to really send people nuts.
Yeah, but still, like, you can see those sales numbers for both consoles. Like, those are some pretty big numbers, and combine that with the chip shortage, you can see why both of these consoles have been hard to get. But it's crazy that we're looking at it going, oh my god, they're so hard to get, but they've just sold so much more than their predecessors have. Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I know. Fun statistics with Straight Jagged Jim.
That's right. I like my numbers. Let's get away from some numbers now and let's talk about some games, because in the last couple of days there's been a couple of games that have sort of come up, and this one I wasn't expecting this one, and it's very interesting. It's been compared to Fall Guys, but it is Kirby. I want this game. I want this game. And basically from the trailer, it just looks like, it does kind of look like Fall Guys in terms of you've got a course that you go through and they'll vary. But the object of it is to eat stuff. And the more you eat during the course, the bigger you get, and the person who eats the most wins.
That's how I live my life. So.
Yeah, that's yeah,
you can just... I was saying earlier, like, when I saw this announced, I thought it was a cooking game. And I've mentioned to a few of you, I have some really weird, like, love of cooking games in general. But, like, it was food, it was Kirby. Like, I don't think I really cared if it was an actual cooking game or not. Like, I was already sold. And this looks so stinking cute as well.
Yeah. This looks adorable. I'm here for it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I really like that there's like... Because it does look like, yes, Raven, like Raven Sky in chat has said, how can anybody compare Kirby to Fall Guys? And go, look at this and tell me that this does not look like Fall Guys.
It looks like a little mix of Fall Guys and maybe a dash of Mario Party.
Yeah,
as
I was about to say. It has some Mario Party vibes, and
it looks cool.
But I'm more for it. Like, I don't know. Do we know whether it does like co-op and local? Like, can you do the split, or is this going to be purely online?
If this is local co-op, that is going to be a game changer.
Take my money.
Oh my god!
Absolutely.
Yeah. Take my money.
This is local. I'm gonna get this in a heartbeat.
I think either way. The art style, just Kirby, and I don't know. They just put Kirby in it, and I'm like, okay. I'll give you my money, Nintendo. Yeah. That's fine.
I feel like I go through this every time Nintendo releases a game. I sit there and talk about Nintendo, fix your online. Nintendo, let us play your old games. Oh my God, it's new Kirby. Oh my God, new Mario or Zelda. So just take my money. Yes. Yeah. Local and online multiplayer.
Oh yes.
That's so good.
All right.
Summer 2022.
Only on the eShop.
Yeah. Mm. Which I wonder if that means it's going to be a free-to-play game.
No.
I'll give the money for it. I don't think Nintendo's going to go with a free-to-play.
Well, I mean, they did it with Pokemon Unite.
Yeah, but it's different. Like, I think.
Yeah, but Pokemon Unite is like a MOBA.
Mm.
And it has, like, it's got a costume shop. And like quite a bit of monetization.
Yeah, there is that. Well,
I can't see that. Oh, unless you get customizable Kirbys.
Yeah, but there's only so much you can customize a Kirby.
Not if you put little few things on it. Then...
I guess it depends on what it eats. Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, he could have a cute little hat, I don't know. I think this would be really interesting. I think
he has shoes. Kirby has shoes. He can get some nice kicks on there.
A cape.
Kirby crossover with Snickerland.
Nintendo's tuning into this podcast going, oh my God, all the microtransaction ideas. Keep them going.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just doing a bit of a Google, couldn't find any prices on it, or even any estimates, just that summer 2022, which will probably be soon, because I'm guessing it's not our summer.
No, it'll be, August is still winter, isn't it?
Yeah.
For us it is.
Yeah. I couldn't remember
what month we're in.
But I'm keen, I want to see this one. But another one that we were talking about before the podcast as well, Stormy, is Skull and Bones.
I could be wrong here, but I know this game was announced a good while ago and there was no release date for like ages and ages, and then only in the last week they've gone, hey, we're bringing this out in November. And I was like, holy moly. I was like, I wasn't expecting it to come out so soon after not hearing much. And I know this is a cinematic trailer, but I thought it was just like gorgeous. But I'm going to ask you as well, Pav, because I know Jim's played Sea of Thieves, and I can't help but bring up Sea of Thieves when it comes to a good pirate game, because I feel like that has been done so well. But this looks so much more intricate and a little bit intense. Like, I'm up for a challenge. But have you played like Sea of Thieves or any other kind of pirate, like even like Assassin's Creed 4, like was that kind of your vibe, Pav? Or
I know nothing about this one, but I love Sea of Thieves. I love Sea of Thieves for its simplicity. So I'm not sure if this is gonna be quite right for me, because like I don't think I'd play this unless I was streaming. And if I was streaming a complicated game, it's not gonna happen. I'm just gonna die every second.
What are your thoughts, Jim?
Look, you said this, that you thought this was cinematic, but a lot of this looks like in-game to me. And I'm it's one of those games where I'm interested in it, but I'll probably be interested in watching other people play it, so stream it and stuff like that, because I'm with Pav. It looks like there's some different classes almost in there and some different skills you could learn. And if I'm going to jump into a pirate game, it's going to be Sea of Thieves, because it's reasonably straightforward. It's simple. This one looks like especially if it becomes PvP, that the people that have played it longer are going to have a better chance. Whereas Sea of Thieves, as long as you know what you're doing, you could come back to it after 2-3 years away, and still have the same chance as somebody that's been playing it for 5 years straight, sort of thing. Like, the ships are the same, the weapons are the same that you find, and yeah, so I'm a little bit cautious about this one.
Yeah, I'm just having a look. I'm on a website called The Loadout, and it's asking, people are asking whether you can play the solo, and they're saying yes. It says here, and I'm quoting here, it doesn't have a campaign, with the structure of the game being more like Sea of Thieves, as you complete quests and upgrade your ship and find new items for your characters. So, it looks like it will be kind of like how in Sea of Thieves, where you do have PvP, but then also PvPvE as well.
Yeah.
Like, we saw those alligators and things like that. But I don't know, like, I agree with both of you. I love Sea of Thieves for the simplicity, love the art style, just the general, like, yes, it gets really hectic and it can be, like, really intense sometimes, but just the slightly, like, easygoing, like, yeah, it's very, like, animated kind of nature of it really makes you feel, like, comfy, like, almost, I want to say. Whereas, like, yeah, this one, I'm looking at it and I was like, this looks really hardcore. But in saying that, like, I can't help but feel intrigued and want to, like, see and explore things and just kind of push the limits of how much I can do in this game. And I think that's why it's appealing to me so much. I think I have to look more into it, but they're going to have a really tough job, I think, with obviously the natural comparison to a game that's so well established and well supported, I may add, like, to Sea of Thieves, which has had consistent, constant updates since its launch, and that's something I've really loved about it, all the additional quests and stories and just general, like, community engagement as well that Sea of Thieves have had, I've always quite admired. Even though I'm not a consistent player, I'm interested to see if Skull and Bones is going to be able to do the same thing and really keep people engaged. I'm really, really interested to see where this goes. It's only a few months away now.
I think, because watching the trailer, because I've watched it before, a few days ago when all this was announced, I get the feeling that where Sea of Thieves had it, so you had to work together with other players to even just sail your boat, I'm getting the feeling that that's not going to be the case in this. I get the feeling that you're going to be the captain and you're going to hire NPCs as, like, your crew.
Yeah.
Because there was stuff in there about crew management. You had to keep them happy, otherwise they'd mutiny and stuff like that. So I think that I don't think the sailing is going to be in depth. I don't think you're going to have to adjust the masts as much as you do in Sea of Thieves and have that level of cooperation. So I think there's more to do, but it's not as complex in the simple things that you need to do, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe it's more focused, like, if you are playing solo, then you have more stuff to do, like, I guess, crew-wise, because you don't have that team, which I think they still allow you to have in Skull and Bones. But I think if they do get rid of the whole, like, intricacies of, you know, make sure the sails are facing the right way and, you know, being able to use everything on that ship to its max potential.
Bail out your ship, patch the holes.
Yeah, if you've got, like, a crew of NPCs doing that for you and you're going in on your own, I can appreciate that. Because that's one thing I never did in Sea of Thieves, was play on my own, because I get absolutely, like,
too tough.
I tried once or twice, and I'm so glad in those times that I never really ran into anybody. It can be done, but it's pretty tough, and it's nowhere near as much fun.
Mm.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to love this game, and you know what? That's okay, because if it floats their boat, that's all right.
That's exactly right.
I like what you did there.
Thank you.
My pun radar is just not on tonight at all.
No, you said something earlier as well. No, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, it was something during It Takes Two, and it just went over my head. It was just, yeah.
I have to remember what that was, because that was really good too. You're onto it. That's really good.
Yeah, love it. But yeah, so those were a couple of big game announcements. This next one is a little bit fun. It's a little bit fun because Nintendo have tried to trademark the letters NSW in the European Union. Now, if anybody in Australia will immediately recognize what those letters are. And we are wondering, is Nintendo coming for New South Wales?
Well, I was a bit of a goose earlier because I said to... I hate that I'm saying this, but I'm going to embarrass myself. Yeah, I'm going to embarrass myself here because I was like, what's the W stand for? I was like, Nintendo Switch. I was like, Nintendo Switch, what? And he was like, no, like SW Switch. Switch. And I was like, oh, I was like, well, this feels like a bit of a stretch. Like, I don't know. I just think if they're really coming for New South Wales, like that just seems a bit.
Well, it says they're trademarking it in Europe. Does that count for, like, global usage that will affect Australian usage?
It will probably only count in Europe. But from memory, because trademarks and copyrights are different. And for trademarks, it has to be in that area or industry as well. So because I'm trying to think of an example where there's like actually two acronyms that are the same. And the only one I can think of is RPG from like a podcast we did ages and ages ago. And the big question was, what was your favorite RPG? And we had our editor in chief, Royce Wilson, also known as Zulu, on here. And he's just started up first. And he's a bit of a war. He likes his war history and weapons and stuff like that. So he starts describing his favorite rocket propelled grenade. And we're all sitting there going, what's he going on? And eventually it twigged. Zulu, we're talking about role-playing games. Yeah. So like you can have acronyms in different areas that mean different things. But and there is an article on GameOnOz.com that, Doom Cutie, one of our new writers has put together, and that Natty has linked in chat about this, and there's a bit there talking about with a trademark lawyer in Australia, and the short answer is there's going to be no trouble in Australia because there's a little disclaimer in there that goes, oh, by the way, the government can use this however the hell they like.
In the Nintendo trademark.
Yeah, well, no, that's in Australian trademark law. It says that you can apply for trademark for this and can be your trademark, but if the government wants to use it, they can.
I see.
So the short answer is no, Nintendo is not coming for New South Wales. I'm just picturing like that meme of the guy with the gun and like Nintendo's got the gun bearing down on that guy and the guy the guy is New South Wales and he says call an ambulance but not for me. Yeah, like it just goes it starts going through the courts and New South Wales goes, nah mate, nah, it's not happening.
I don't know, they've got an ace attorney.
Yeah. I'm not sure how well he'll do in an Australian court. He's probably pretty good in Japanese court, but not so good in Australian court.
Objection.
Troy and Perth doesn't care. They were like, if they want it, they can have it. You can tell who's not from New South Wales in here.
Is Menthonzo around? but yeah, it's an interesting sort of take. And it's one of those things that I think, you know, the internet beats up more than what actual news there is there, because like I said, trademarks from memory, just they're for something in a particular industry. And like, I just wish I could think of one. Like I thought I had one earlier on where like there was an acronym or something. And the only one I can think of is there was a company called IFAP, but that is nothing even to do with this. It's just stuck in my head now and I needed to get it out. But anyway, they're an engineering company that does like mining stuff. By the way, if you're ever curious about what IFAP does,
We know what IFAP does.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
No, that's okay.
Wrong podcast.
Oh my God. Stormy, help us. Save us. Yeah, what's the next story?
Our next story is E3 is returning in 2023, which is really exciting. So this article was also done by our Royce Wilson. You can check it out on GameOnOz.com. New website. I think we can still call it new. It's really pretty.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's even a month old yet. So yeah, I think we can call it new.
It's still new.
Yeah.
There hasn't been an E3, like a proper E3 in like 3 years. So this is a really big deal. And it's exciting because, like, you know, obviously, and I know we've talked about this before, but I feel like I can't talk about the excitement of E3 without talking about the excitement of PAX coming up in Australia in October. So it's kind of nice because it feels like some things are getting back to normal or some sort of normal, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I think have you guys ever been to E3 before?
No. I know Royce Zulu has, but not myself, because until recently it's been a journalism event, and it's only sort of the last couple of years pre-COVID that they opened it up to the general public.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, obviously things kind of took a bit of a tumble, or like, you know, once COVID happened, and they had a virtual event, and then they didn't have one at all last year. But yeah, so there's an event production company called Readpop who organize PAX and New York Comic Con. So they're going to be partnering with ESA, which is the Entertainment Software Association, and going to be doing E3 as an in-person event next year, which is really exciting. I would love to have the opportunity to go to something as big as that. That's incredible.
I would love to go to a trade show, like a gaming trade show, because it means, like, there'd be a set number of people that would be invited. It wouldn't be like super packed. Like, I imagine there'd still be lines for certain things, but I would imagine that they would be shorter than something like PAX, where it's the general public can come. And I would just love to play in that playground and see everything that's there.
It's even, I don't know about you guys, I find it hard to even think about 2023, but it feels so far away, but it's actually really
not. It's not far away at all.
It's not far away at all.
You know, we're closer to 2023 than we are to 2021 at the moment.
Yeah, which is like really bad. But yeah, I think it's really exciting, and I guess like there's obviously, I don't believe there's any dates or anything just yet, but what might be on the horizon there. I know just in other random gaming news, if it makes an appearance at something like E3, whether they'll, I think I did read somewhere, I think the Last of Us HBO series is going to be coming out early 2023. So whether we see a little glimpse of that, I don't know what extent they'll tease, I guess, the more TV show side of things. But I think gaming wise, that will be an exciting thing. I know that's happening next year. That should be on the horizon. But I just have very fond memories of staying up for E3 or getting up early for E3 to watch it on my phone and just,
it's,
I don't know,
yeah,
get it, like, message my friends at the same time, all the group chat and all the notifications are going off as soon as we start seeing something. It's just exciting.
It's an interesting thing, and I think E3 has to, and I'm kind of glad they've taken this year off, because I think they need to rethink their approach to it. Because this used to be the place where major companies would make their announcements. It's where Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony would all go. But like the last couple of years, even pre-COVID, Sony pulled out. Sony were just doing their state of play.
Yeah.
And Nintendo, like, you think back at, was it 2016? Or yeah, it must have been 2016 E3. It might have been 2017, I can't remember. But they only brought Breath of the Wild to that. And admittedly, it's Breath of the fucking Wild. So it's, yeah. But, Nintendo have been doing their own... Nintendo going to do what Nintendo do. Like, there's no changing that. And so they haven't really been attending E3. Microsoft's really been the only one of the big three that's been putting any effort into E3 lately. And even they've sort of stepped back a bit. Well, they've had to the last couple of years, really. But I feel like E3 needs to do something different to maintain their hold on the industry.
I think it's also really interesting as well. Like, obviously, it might come across as quite blunt, but I think with E3, if they were to have some kind of appearance this year, like online, would there really have been that much to kind of announced for this year. A lot of stuff have been either delayed indefinitely or pushed back to next year. At least, I guess, with like what I quite admired about the Xbox announcements was that they were like, okay, everything, I mean, obviously this could change, but basically their basis was everything we're showing here is coming out in the next 12 months. And then you kind of know. But obviously we've had other delays, like Forspoken has been sadly, I'm genuinely gutted. That's been delayed again into next year. And I don't know. Obviously, I know we've spoken about this on the podcast before, but it has been like a somewhat quiet year for games. Like, yeah, we've had a few, the couple odd AAA releases here and there, but in terms of big announcements, like the biggest one I can think of that I've just seen everywhere at the moment is obviously God of War. But apart from your usual, and I say usual again, I'm being quite blunt, your usual Call of Duties and you know, yearly games. Yeah, maybe it was a good thing it didn't happen this year.
Yeah, that's it. But that's about all we've got time for tonight. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Stormy, pleasure as always. Give it up for Pav, our guest star for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, mate.
Thanks for having me. So I
actually meant to do this at the beginning, but we invited you in from Oceanic Gaming Radio. So where can we find that podcast?
Great question. You can check out our socials at OGR Show. That's Oga Show, OGR Show. Yeah, you can check that out on, I believe, Instagram, Twitter. Twitter's the best place. You can find everything from there. Also, you know, there. That's probably the best spot. Or Linktree/Oga Show. That's it. That's where you can find all
not
of it.
Organic show.
No. Not organic show. Not organic show. Unless, no.
Unless.
And what about where can we watch/hear the podcast itself?
Every Monday night at 7 PM Australian Western Standard Time. We're on Twitch at twitch.tv/Oceanic Gaming Radio. So you can find us there, chatting about the weekly news as well. Yeah, we've got an extra long episode next week. Should be a 2-hour episode. It's gonna be a big hefty one because we missed a week last week. They were took some time to let me start moving house. But yeah, that's it. And we've been having a lot of fun. We're about 7 months in now to our podcast. It's coming a long way, and we're really happy. We're glad a bunch of the community is getting into it as well. So looking forward to chatting to both of you then.
I'm really thankful and grateful that we get to have you on here. I get to connect with like other gamers in the local community and stuff too. So like, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Thanks, Pav, and we'll catch everybody next week.